But today we are in the middle of a series called Together. I feel like the idea of being together is more important now than it ever has been. We live in the middle of a crazy time where isolation has become the thing to do. It's the way to stay safe. The problem is, even though the government is telling us and CDC is telling us you need to isolate as much as possible, they also come right back with statistics saying that anxiety, depression, and suicide are on the rise during this time. The isolation may keep you safe from a pandemic, but it also puts you in danger of even worse mental issues. And so we wanted to do a series. We felt like it was important for us to do a series called Together, because I feel like even in a time when everybody wants us to separate, I feel like it's important to find a way to come together. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Last week, we talked about that. This week, we're talking about it. And I want you, real quickly, as we kind of intro this message, look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says this: "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, and then he breaks out against all sound judgment. Now, sound judgment in some translations can mean common sense. It can mean common wisdom. And the word breaks out means to bare his teeth. Have y'all ever had, if you've got a dog or you ever seen a dog or even a cat, I don't know, cats, I'm not sure they're actually animals. I think they're just demons with fur on them. But not everybody would agree. Perry always gets mad at me when I talk about cats. But have you ever seen them, an animal, when he gets mad, when he gets upset, what does it do? It shows its teeth, right? It bares its teeth. In other words, it is absolutely against whatever's coming at it. My dog thinks he's a guard dog. He's 8 months old. He's some kind of mixed breed. We don't know what all he is. But he thinks he's a guard dog, but he's not. He's the biggest baby you've ever seen. And so the other day, I get to the gym, and I'm going to go running with some friends. And I get there, and my friend Josh is standing over there, and Josh knows Bo. And Josh says, "Hey, Bo." And Bo, my dog, looks at Josh, and literally the fur on his back stands up on end. He bares his teeth, and he's growling, and he's snarling, and he's barking. And so what did I do? I let him go. I was like, "Go get him, you know, go sick him. You know, I want to see what you can do." And he runs straight at Josh and immediately licks all over him. I mean, it's like he is the worst guard dog ever. But here's the thing. Whenever we isolate ourselves, we put ourselves in a place mentally where we actively fight against common sense and wisdom. Why? Because our minds were not created to be alone. When God looked at Adam, he said, first of all, he's a man. It's obvious he needs some help, right? He said he's got to have somebody to help him out. We got to give him a woman. And so God gave Adam somebody. It's important that we have people around us. And so today that's what we're going to be talking about. And here's something else I want you to think about. When it comes to being together, I don't want you to feel like that I'm trying to tell you that the only way you can be together is that you've got to go get in a mass group. I know there's some people, probably not in here, obviously, but those of you watching online this morning, I know there's some of you, you're being cautious. You've got health issues, or you've got someone in your family with health issues. That's understandable. Some of you are just being wise, maybe because of your jobs or what you do for a living, and so you're having to be wise, and you're having to isolate yourself a little bit more. So today, when I talk about we've got to get together, there are different ways for you to get together. There are multiple ways for you to get together. You can get together one-on-one. You can get together with family members that you trust and you know. You can get together in church like we're doing right now. You can even get together online. I feel like it's important for you to be able to see people's faces, for you to be able to talk to people. And so today, as we talk about being together, that's one of the things I want you to know right off the top of the message is there are multiple ways to get together. As long as you're getting together, that's what matters. As a matter of fact, one of the things we told people last week, we had a small group, kind of like a small group leadership meeting last week. And one of the things we told people is we believe that there could be another time when the government is going to try to shut churches down again. And if that happens, we have to be prepared on how we're going to stay together. And so we've already started talking, you know, like if they tell us we can't come inside, we'll go outside. If they tell us we can't go outside, we'll meet in small groups in our homes and watch the service together. If you get your family together, some of you guys watching online right now, there's four or five of you in the same family. You're all watching separately. Get together. When we were on vacation one time, my whole family or Perry's family, we were all together at her parents' house. And so when it came time to watch church, we all got in the same room and watched church together. It's just important to be together. And so I just want to kind of give you an overview of the series. Last week we said there's four things that happen when we come together. Last week we said that when we're together, we invite the presence of God. So if you missed last week, go back and check it out. My dad, Mike Wright, some people call him Cowboy, he preached a great message on the presence of God being here whenever we come together. And then this week we're going to be talking about how our prayers can become more powerful as we come together. Next week we're going to talk about how our ministry becomes more effective when we're together. And then the last week we'll talk about how we can grow spiritually when we come together. So today we're going to talk about praying. And my goal today is really to encourage you to pray. I feel like we're in a time and place where prayer is more important than it's ever been. It's one of those things I think sometimes we forget about, right? And you don't pray unless things are going bad. And so we want to encourage our church to pray. We want to encourage everyone to pray. Perry and I, in the last few weeks since we had our friend Michael Allen came and spoke and encouraged everybody to take one day a week to fast and pray. And he said, do it for 90 days. He said, it's important to just get that as a part of your lifestyle, fasting and praying. I hate to fast. I'm going to be honest with you. It is not my favorite. Listen, look how little I am. I need food. I need food a lot. I need food all the time. And so for me to take time to not eat is terrible. As a matter of fact, my whole life I have made up as many excuses as I could to be able to fast and eat. One time I had a friend of mine, and his name is Keith, and we had another friend named Brooke, and we had all decided to fast for 3 days straight. And so we started, you know, midnight one night until midnight 3 days later. I guess it was Monday through Wednesday. We were going to fast. We were going to pray. We're not going to eat anything. And so the first day of fasting, man, I was killing it. I was doing great. I made it 24 hours without eating, and it was wonderful. And Keith had done it, and Brooke had done it. We were keeping each other accountable. But then day two, so Monday I did really well. Day two was Tuesday. Tuesday I was really struggling, right? I was hurting. And so I look at Keith, and I talk to him. I said, you know, we can drink water while we're fasting. I said, what's the difference between drinking water and drinking a milkshake from Sonic? Like, it's the same thing. You're still just drinking something. We're not technically eating anything. And Keith was like, yes, 100%. Let's do it. And so we went to Sonic three or four times a day, and we would get the biggest Route 66 milkshake. And, I mean, we were guzzling these milkshakes. And so we get to Wednesday, and we're feeling good. Man, our fast is going great. And, like physically, I feel good. I've got energy. And we get to this service where we were actually leading the service, and Brooke was helping us, and Brooke was there. And I remember Brooke was just talking about how she was really struggling. You know, she was really struggling. And Keith and I were like, we feel good. I don't know why you're struggling. You know, we're feeling great. And I remember we forgot to tell Brooke about the milkshake. And so that night, someone offered Brooke a Tootsie Roll or a mint, some small little candy, and she wasn't even thinking. She just popped it in her mouth. And I mean, Keith and I let her have it because we're fasting. You can't be eating during a fast. You know, we're right here close to the edge of the end of the fast, and so we let her have it. And then when she found out a couple days later that we'd been drinking milkshakes the whole time, we were in a lot of trouble. So when I say fasting and praying, I mean actually fasting and praying, and I want to encourage you to do that. That's something Perry and I we're trying to incorporate into our lifestyle right now, is this idea of can we fast and pray? And it's hard, but I think it's going to be good for us. So I want to talk today about what does it mean to pray together. I think everybody knows how to pray by yourself. Essentially, it's talking to God, right? But what does it mean to pray together? You know, sometimes praying together with somebody can be awkward. Does anybody ever struggle praying together? Okay, just a few of us. Babe, you and I have been praying together. What are you talking about? Struggling. Don't be raising your hand. Praying together is important, but sometimes it's awkward. We used to do Wednesday night prayer in here. And if you don't know me, I'm I can tend to, when I'm in charge of something, I can tend to be loud because I don't like it when things get quiet. I don't like it when people don't know what to do. And so I tend to just like, okay, well, I'll just take over and I'll be loud and I'll help navigate the room. And so we would do Wednesday night prayer. And now Perry, her idea of praying together is she wants to go get in the corner and pray quietly and no one's really going to hear her. And she wants to pray whatever she wants to pray. Me praying together, I guess it's the leader in me. I want to lead you in prayer, and I want to tell you what to pray for. And I'll never forget, we sat down in a room one night, and we were talking about some ways we needed to, some changes we needed to make. And Jennifer, sitting right over here on the back, very quiet Jennifer, likes to tell me how to do things. And so Jennifer said, Pastor, I'm going to just tell you right now, when you pray out loud, you mess me up. See, I can't pray. Because no matter what I'm praying about, as soon as you start praying, you're so loud, I just pray whatever you're praying. And I'll just copy the same things you're saying. She said, I'm not even praying. I'm just mimicking you. You know, and it's like, that's not praying together. You know, we got to figure out how to pray together. And so today I want to just give you a couple of thoughts on what does it look like to pray together. And then I want to give you a couple of expectations you can have when you start praying together. So the first thing that it looks like to pray together is you got to learn to plan to pray together. You've got to plan to pray. That's a lot of P's, man. I'm going to struggle today, I'm going to tell you. We got to plan to pray together. What does that mean? That means you need to set a date to pray. And what is a date? A date is just a predetermined time and location, right? If we're going to truly pray together and we're going to be powerful and effective in our prayer life, we've got to learn how to set a date for praying. We got to make a plan to do it. If you don't make a plan, it won't ever happen. I have people tell me all the time, they say, Gabriel, I need you to do this, and Gabriel, will you do that? And I say, listen, if you don't text me a date and a time for us to get together, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm going to forget, and I just won't be there. So we've got to learn to set a date and a time. And you're probably saying, but that doesn't sound very spiritual and spontaneous, but it is very biblical. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says this is the story of Peter and John. And remember, there was a paralyzed guy who's a lame man outside the temple, and they raised him up, they healed him. And it's the old story of silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. Some of you may remember that story. But the beginning of this story is what we kind of skip over a lot of times. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple location at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour time. In other words, there was a regular time and place that Peter and John went to pray. We've got to learn to have a time and a place. If you tell God in your private prayer, I'll just pray when I can, guess what? You never will. And if you tell people, we're going to get together and pray, but you don't have a time and a date, then it's just not going to happen. You've got to make a plan to pray together. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, just the very beginning of that, it says, as we were going to the place of prayer. There are locations that people went to pray. There were certain times that they went to pray. I used to work at a school in Hoover, and the school that I worked at was near a Muslim mosque. And so we had a lot of Muslim students in our school. And listen, even the Muslims had certain times of day that they prayed. And we respected that. As Christians, we've got to learn to set some times and locations for prayer. In a practical sense, I hope I'm not throwing this out there without permission. I mean, I am doing it without permission. I hope they don't get offended. But Beverly Carter, who goes to church here, she works with me, and Sherry Queen right down here, these guys have started, they're best friends, and these guys have started having prayer times together. And there's certain days at certain times, and they'll come up to the church, and I'll hear the music start playing, and I know they're up in the loft, and I can hear them up there praying, but there are certain times and certain days that they get together and they pray. And it's powerful, and it's great, and it's essential. Think about all the things that you do with other people that you will set a time and date to meet to do. You'll set times and dates to go eat, and that's good. You'll set times and dates to play video games, and that's good. You'll set times and dates to go to the gym. You'll set times and dates to go running. You'll set times and dates to do all kinds of stuff. But we never set a time and a date and make a plan to pray. We need to be praying. Perry and I have had the last few weeks, we've just decided, hey, there's certain times that we need, as husband and wife, to get together and pray. One night we left the boys at home. We took Emma to volleyball, and we came up to the church, and we turned on music here at the church, and we just prayed. And then we left. I mean, it was just we made that a plan before we ever did it. It wasn't willy-nilly. It wasn't just spur of the moment. We set a plan. We are praying here Wednesday night. This Wednesday night at 6:30, we're going to pray. That's all we're going to do. We're going to pray for 1 hour. We're going to be in here praying. We pray before church. I've got the prayer. The loft is open before church. I'll turn on YouTube. I'll turn on worship music. If you ever want to get together and pray before church, you can go upstairs and pray before church. I don't care if you get here at 7 in the morning, whenever I'm here, and go up there and pray and then go to Jack's and get breakfast. You do whatever you got to do to pray together. It's important that we make a plan. The second thing we got to do is we got to learn to devote ourselves to praying together. It's not good enough to just have a time and a date. You've got to actually have a heart behind it. You've got to devote yourself to it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayers." I want to point out three things. They were devoted to what? To fellowship, that's together, that's with each other, and to what? And to prayer. So in other words, they were devoted. They were passionate. It was a lifestyle for them. We talked last week, when Pastor Mike was preaching, he told us what? He said, if you do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit. If you do it for 90 days, it becomes a lifestyle. We need to be devoted to a lifestyle of praying together. We need to set up a time. It doesn't have to be every week. It could be every 2 weeks. It could be once a month. I don't know what your lifestyle needs to be, but we need to be devoted to praying together. We've got people in our lives right now that are struggling and that are hurting, and we talk about them a lot, but we don't pray with them very often. You know what we might need to do is we might need to get together and say, hey, we need to pray. Once a week, we need to get together and pray. I've got some friends that were in a church one time, and they were dealing with some stuff. And one of the things they said, you know what we need to do? We need to set a time and a date, and we need to devote ourselves to pray. And they said, well, what happens if everything we're asking God for, what if there's some changes that happen? And they said, no, it's not a matter of just getting one answer. It's a matter of this together prayer. We've got to keep it rolling. We want to pray with each other. So we've got to be devoted to it. Number three is we must pray together in His name. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, but I'm going to focus on it again this week. Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am with them. Here's some key words I want you to notice. The word together means that you are in harmony, right? And you've heard me talk about this before. Whenever all the instruments and the singers, when they get together, you know they're not all playing the exact same thing. It's not monotone. They're all singing different parts. They're playing different parts so that it all comes together in harmony to make a beautiful song. The same is true whenever you and I get together for prayer. We need to come together in harmony. We need to be together as one. But here's the key. The key is it says, in My name. In other words, we're not just in harmony with each other. You and I can get together and be in harmony. In other words, we can be agreeing on the same thing, but our prayer may not be any good if we're not in harmony with God's will. He says, get together in My name. The word My name there is not just throw in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer for your breakfast, right? The term in His name means in His authority, in His will. So whenever Clint and I get together to pray, we can't just get together and pray for whatever we want to pray for. We can, but we can't necessarily expect an answer from that. But when he and I get together to pray, our goal is to pray in harmony with each other and within God's will. So God, what is it that you want us to pray for? What are the things that you want to do in our families, in our church, in our city, in our country? What are the things that you're saying right now? And can we pray according to that? And as we pray according to that, then we're going to see some things happen in our life. So just to recap those three things, we've got a plan to pray, we've got to be devoted to praying, and we've got to pray in His name. If we do those things, what can we expect from God? I believe we should always expect something from God. I think we miss out on miracles. We miss out on a word from God so often because we don't expect anything from Him. When you go to church, you should go to church expecting something from God. And we got folks in the room today that don't come to our church. You're here because the building is open and your church may not be yet, and that's fine. But I want to encourage you, when you go back to your church, you need to go in expecting God to do something. You need to expect God to speak straight to your heart. You need to expect God to touch your life. The same is true in prayer. If we go into praying and we don't expect God to do anything, then what are we doing? We're just talking. It's not spiritual. It's all physical at that point. I've got to go in and I've got to expect something from God. So here's some things I should expect when I pray together. So when Perry and I pray together, or whenever I get together with the elders of the church, I've got elders in our church and I've got them on a text thread. And when I'm dealing with something, I text them, "Hey, I need you guys to start praying with me right now." You know what they do? They all start praying. You know what I expect? I expect one of them to hear from God. And sure enough, I'll start getting texts and phone calls back from them. "Hey, as I was praying, I felt like God was saying this. As I was praying, I felt like God said this." And all of them are right on. Why? Because we're praying together. Now, we're praying together separately. We're going to do over text thread. When Perry and I get together and we started praying the other night, I said, "You know what? I'm thinking, I'm expecting God to show up today. I don't know what He's going to give me. I don't know what He's going to do for us, but I'm expecting God to do something tonight." So here's a couple of things. The Bible says we're in Matthew. So first of all, we can expect His presence. Matthew 18:20. We just did this one. "Where two or three are gathered in my name." I didn't read the last part. I'm among them, right? I am there in their midst. In other words, when you get together with each other, Jesus, by His Spirit, shows up in that place. You can expect that. You need that. How do I know what that is? I can't tell you how to know it, except you just know it, right? I can't tell you what wind feels like. I can just tell you that you'll know it when you feel it. And the same is true with the presence of God. Whenever you pray together and you get into His presence, I don't know how to explain that to you, except that you just got to be there and you've got to experience it. I remember one time, I may have shared this a couple weeks ago, I can't remember, but I remember one time I was praying alone, actually, and I was a youth pastor. I was young, I didn't know what I was doing, and so I had to pray and ask God to help me, which is typical for me. I'm always not knowing what I'm doing, and so I have to pray, right? Like, prayer for me is essential. And so I went into a room and I was praying by myself. And as I was praying, I felt like the presence of God was there. What did it feel like? I don't know. It was like a deepness. Like, I felt totally focused and totally engaged. And it was like everything in the room shut off. And it was like everything in my world shut off. And it was this intense focus that I had in prayer. And all of a sudden I could hear this voice. And it was calling my name. And it got louder and it got louder. And all of a sudden, it said, "Gabriel!" and banged on the wall. And I jumped up and I was so scared. My heart was racing. I'm thanking God I didn't peel myself. It was so bad. And I looked up and it was the children's pastor had come into the room. And I was so focused. I was so focused. And he scared the mess out of me. But the presence of God feels like, for me, that intense focus. So what happens when I get into His presence? Just quickly, let me run through some verses. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 3:17, that we have freedom in His presence. It says, "For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So if you need freedom, or you've got someone else that needs freedom in their life, maybe you're bound by some kind of sin or some kind of addiction, you know what you need? You need to pray together. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord shows up where we pray together, and where we pray together, where He shows up, there is freedom. In Isaiah 40:31, it says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What happens when we're in the presence of the Lord? What happens is we are strengthened and we are encouraged. There are times when I go into prayer and I feel so weak and I feel so down. Spiritually, I feel down and I feel heavy, and I go into prayer with other people and it's like all of a sudden I feel strengthened and encouraged. The other day, whenever Perry and I were praying together, I came into that day very worn out mentally and emotionally. My soul was tired. And we walk into prayer, and as we're praying, as we're listening to worship music, I just felt energized again. It was like I could feel life come back into me. Psalm 37:7 says this. I may have skipped one. Sorry, Jeremy. Go back up to Psalm 16:11. The other thing that we get is we get joy. The Bible says this, "You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." What is joy? Joy is not the same as happy, right? Happy is external. Happy depends on the circumstances. I'm at a birthday party and I'm happy, but I dropped the cake and now I'm sad, right? It's all determined by what's happening on the outside. Joy is something that comes from deep inside of you. It's a deep emotion that has nothing to do with the circumstances around you. I could be in the worst circumstances, but if I get together with some of you and we begin to pray and the presence of God shows up, all of a sudden I can have joy in the middle of a terrible circumstance. The Bible says that Jesus is facing the cross and he has joy even in facing the cross. Why? Because he was looking forward to what was beyond the cross. He wasn't happy. He even told God, he said, "God, if there's any way you can take this cup from me, do it." He wasn't happy about the cross, but he had joy. There's a difference. When we're in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And then in Psalm 37:7, the Bible says that we have rest in his presence. It says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who carries out his wicked schemes." In other words, some of you may be suffering with anxiety and discouragement right now. You may have all this fear inside of you. Oh, if I go outside, I'm going to get sick. If I do this, I'm going to get sick and someone's going to die. And you've got all this anxiety and this fear. You know what you need? You need rest. You need rest. How do I get that rest? You get that rest by getting together with some folks and praying and expecting the Spirit of God to show up, expecting his presence in that room. And when his presence shows up, he will give you rest. The second thing we need to expect is we need to expect his answers. Now, notice I didn't put an answer because anybody can get an answer. It doesn't mean it's the right answer. Anybody can have an answer. I ask people questions all the time, and they give me all kinds of answers. I ask my kids questions. They ask me questions. I can't drive 5 minutes without Colt asking me 35 questions. I can't even answer one of his questions before he's asking me another one. There's lots of questions. But listen, there's only one right answer, and that's the answer God has. In the book of Daniel, just very quickly, in the book of Daniel, we've got Daniel and his three friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are their Babylonian names. They've got Jewish names also. And so these guys are in Babylon. They've been taken from their homeland. They've been taken from Israel. They've been taken to Babylon. And in Babylon, they have been indoctrinated with Babylonian culture. These guys are considered wise men in this culture. And so the king, he's an evil king. He has a dream. The dream disturbs him to some bit, and so he wants somebody to interpret his dream. But the king goes to all of his wise men and all of his magicians and all of his psychics, and he goes to them, and he says, "I had a dream, and I want you to interpret it." And they said, "Cool, man, we'll do it. What is the dream?" And he said, no, if you're really wise, if you're really psychic, if you're really a magician, you should be able to tell me my dream and then also interpret it. So they all start freaking out. They say, "Well, there's no way. This is impossible." So the king says this, "All right, I'm going to just kill you all. I'll just kill you, and I'll go get some other wise men," right? And so they're going through, and they're killing all the psychics and all the wise men and all the magicians, and they get to Daniel. And Daniel, when they come to him, he says, whoa, hold on. Let's do this. If you guys will just give me a minute, if y'all will just give me a little bit of time, I can find out the answer. I know somebody that knows the dream. I know somebody that knows the interpretation. If you'll just give me a minute and let me figure this out, I will come right back to you." And so they decided to give Daniel a little bit of time. So we're going to pick that story up in Daniel 2, verse 17. The Bible says this, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." I want you to notice something. The Bible doesn't say Daniel locked himself in his prayer closet by himself. The Bible says Daniel went to his friends. Why? Because he understood there is power and there is answers when we pray together, right? And so Daniel says, I got to get with some folks. I got to get with somebody. I got to get with my small group. I got to get with my elders. I got to get with my family. And we got to pray together. So he gets together. And in verse 18, it says, and he told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning the mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, I don't just need any answer. I need God's answer, and I can't get it by myself. I got to get with my friends. And when I get with my friends and we begin to pray, we can expect God's going to show up and God's going to give us the answer. We got to pray together. There's some of you, you're facing some issues right now in your life, in your family, in your business, in your health, and you're asking God for an answer, and you're confused, and you're discouraged because you can't figure this out. I'm telling you, you need to stop doing this by yourself. You need to stop trying to pray by yourself, live by yourself, isolate yourself spiritually. You need to get with somebody to pray with you and help you find the answer. The third thing that I can expect is I can expect his power. Not my power. I can't expect to be more powerful, but I can expect him to be more powerful. I can expect him to operate in more power through me. And I need his power. The Bible says this in James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. We can't pray for each other and confess to each other if we're not with each other. Right? Let's just use common sense of what the Bible's saying here. James is saying you got to get together in order to pray. He says, get together and pray. Confess your sins. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Aren't you tired of weak praying? Aren't you tired of just talking? Man, you guys can come on up. Aren't you tired of just talking? I'm ready to see God do something through my prayers. I want to see prayers answered. We sang a song this morning. I guess Anna was the one that was singing it, saying we need to move, right? And she said, bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. Can I tell you something? That is just a song. It's not reality until we start praying together and we have some power in what we're doing. There ain't nobody going to be raised. No giant is going to be slain as long as you and I are sitting around by ourselves doing nothing. We got to start praying, and we need power in our prayer. How do I get power in my prayer? I got to get with some other people. Because when we get together, there's power in our prayer. In Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Now listen, we've already been through Acts chapter 2 at this point. Acts chapter 2, what were they doing? The Bible says that the disciples were together in one place praying. As they're praying, the Bible says the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, right? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. But now we've moved on in the story. We've moved on in time a little bit in chapter 4. Here's the issue. Chapter 4, they're getting persecuted. People are trying to kill them. In Acts chapter 2, no one's looking for them, man. They're just up there hanging out, having a big old time, and they all get filled with the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people get saved, and now all of a sudden they've got a movement. And once they got a movement, they got the attention of the Romans, they've got the attention of the Jews, and now all of a sudden they're in trouble, and they're being persecuted. So in Acts chapter 4, they recognize, we got to have something else. Like, we need something else. So here's what they said in verse 29, it says, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, so guess what's happening? When they had prayed, the place, the location in which they were gathered together was shaken. That's the power of God. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 16, 25 and 26, Paul and Silas, missionaries, church planters, they get arrested for doing something. They prayed for somebody. They got arrested. They got beaten. They got thrown into prison. The Bible says they were thrown into prison, and we use this a lot. So this is one of those verses we use a lot when it comes to worship. And there's been times I've come up here during worship. I've interrupted Pastor Jonathan and I've said, hey, listen, the Bible says that Paul and Silas were in the bottom of the prison and they were worshiping God. And then the prison was shaken and the chains were loosed and the doors were open. But you know what it says before it says they were worshiping God? Verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all of the doors were opened and everybody's bonds were unfastened. What happened? They prayed together. God's presence showed up. And the power of God was manifested to the point that it set people free. Even in the story, if you continue on, the jailer who was in charge, the guard who was in charge, is ready to commit suicide because he knows his career is ruined. And God gives him an answer called Jesus Christ through Paul and Silas, and his life was transformed. We can expect his presence. We can expect his answers. And we can expect what? His power when we pray together. I want to read one more story and then tell you a story, and then we're going to pray and leave. In Acts chapter 12, for the sake of time, I've cut out a couple of verses. So if you want to go back and read the whole thing, what I've cut out doesn't, it won't change the story. But in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter is in prison. And it says, so Peter was kept in prison. But look at this, verse 5, this is so huge. But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Earnest prayer is that same word that we talked about earlier about being devoted to praying together. There was a church in the book of Acts that said, Peter's in prison and we're going to devote ourselves to praying. We're going to get together at someone's house and we're going to pray. And it doesn't matter how long we pray, we're going to pray and we're going to seek God and we're going to be devoted to praying for Peter until something happens. Verse 6, now when Herod was about to bring him out, this is important. I want you to see a couple of things. When Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. You know what? There's a problem that you may be facing today. There's an issue that you may be going through right now. And you feel like this. You feel like you're in the middle of a prison with two guards, two chains, and multiple doors and gates to be able to get out. And you're saying, God, this is impossible. There's no way that I can get an answer for this. There's no way that this person in my life can be set free. There's no way that you can provide for me during this time. And you're looking at the situation and you're just saying, this looks impossible. I'm glad the Bible didn't just say, and Peter was in prison. I'm glad it shows us how impossible this story really is. Two chains, two soldiers, guards at the doors, multiple doors. Verse 7, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him. The presence of God shows up when people are praying. The angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off of his hands. I like the fact that the chains just fell off. There was no key. There was no force. There was no breaking. They just fell off. When we pray together, there's power when we pray together. And I believe that even people bound in chains of addiction and sin and immorality, I believe that those chains can just fall off. Amen. As we're praying together. The angel said to him, dress yourself, put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak and follow me. Verse 10, and when they had passed through the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them all by itself. On its own accord. And they went out and went on the one street, and immediately the angel left him. I want you to look at that. Again, doors are opening. Chains are falling off. There's some things in your life today, and you're saying, man, if I just had the right door open for me, if I could just get this promotion, if I could just get this healing, if I could just do this thing. If you're not praying together, how do we expect anything to happen? You got to have those people in your life. I'm not saying you got to have 100 people in your life to pray with. The Bible says we're two or three. You may just need to get two or three people that you, hey, family, before we go to bed tonight, we're all going to get together and we're going to pray. Every night we're going to pray because dad needs a breakthrough. We're going to get together and we're going to pray because mom needs a miracle. We're going to just pray. And you pray and you seek God. And I believe as we do that, chains can fall, doors can open. Verse 12, when he realized this, Peter realized that it was all really happening. At first he thought it was a dream. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where there were many gathered together and were praying. I want to close with a personal story. And then we're going to leave. Last week, my dad had three ropes up here. And he talked about how they're weaker when they're separate. But if you can braid them together, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that they become stronger. This morning, I braided this rope and I had Colt helping me braid the rope. And as I was braiding the rope, he said, Dad, why are you doing this? And I said, well, the Bible says that threefold cord is not easily broken. And he said, you know, if I had a knife, which he did, he said, if I had my knife and I cut one of these cords, it'd be really easy to cut. He said, but once you braided it, that makes it so much harder to cut. I said, exactly right. That's exactly what we're talking about. So when we first started the church, there was a family with us, and I'm not going to use names because I didn't ask their permission, but there was a family with us, and the wife was struggling to get pregnant. And she couldn't get pregnant, and the doctors had told her she couldn't get pregnant. And someone in the church had decided they had a friend out in Springville or Argo or somewhere out there that had a little building. And someone in the church said, Pastor, here's what I want. I want all the staff and some of the leaders, I want you to come out to this little building, and I want you to pray. And we're setting up a day for you to come pray as a team, as a group, together. And we'll watch your kids for you, and you just come out here and pray. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know all the good pastors, and those of you that are visiting with us today, I know your pastor would not be like me. He's much better than I am. But I did not want to do it. I was like, man, seriously, you're going to take my kids and then make me pray? Like, let me take my wife out for dinner. You know, like, you can take my kids and let me do that. But now you're going to make me go pray. So I was upset. I wasn't happy. I wish I was. So we get out there, and we start praying. And at first, I got a bad attitude, you know, because I felt like it was being forced on me. And then all of a sudden, it was like God got a hold of me, and I realized how stupid I was. So I started praying. I started becoming more earnest in my prayer. I started worshiping God. I started praying. And at the end, we all got together, and we just began to pray for each other. And we just said, hey, what do you need? What do you need? And let's just pray for each other, and let's take this time to pray. And I remember the one family saying, hey, we can't have kids. Like they're telling us we can't have kids anymore, and we really want another child. And I remember that group of people getting together, just like this, and we put our hands on that lady, and we begin to pray. And we could feel the presence of God in that room. I'll never forget, a few weeks later, she calls and says, I'm pregnant. Amen. It's amazing what God can do when you pray together. Now you may say, Gabriel, how in the world are you going to end this? Like, that you didn't talk about Jesus. You didn't talk about getting saved. Kim already took care of that. I didn't have to do that. Why don't you stand up with me today and let's end like this. Now I get it, social distancing. I know, don't touch me. I don't want to get sick. I really don't care. You can touch me all you want. No, that's kind of weird. Don't do that. But here's what I want to know today. There's some of you this morning, I believe this, there's some of you that are struggling, you're hurting, you're afraid, you got a need, you got an issue, right? And so what I want to do is, as a group today, we're going to practice what we preach, and we're just going to pray. And you may say, I don't know everybody's issues, and that's okay, you don't have to know their issues. God knows all the issues today. And so what I want us to do in just a minute, we're going to close our eyes so that we're not looking around, that we can kind of get focused. And we're just going to do a couple of things. We're going to just ask God for His presence in our lives. We're going to ask God to show up in this place. I believe He's already here, but we want to feel Him and know Him. And we're going to ask God to meet every need, to break every chain, to open every door that needs to be opened in this place today. Now, normally, if we weren't in the pandemic and I wasn't worried about people, you know, looking at us and wondering what we're doing, we would have people down front willing to pray with you today. And as a matter of fact, if you're not worried about that, at the end of service, Sherry and Roger, they'll be back in the back and they will be glad to pray with you about something personal. But here's what I want you to do. I want you just to close your eyes this morning. As these guys are playing, here's what I want us to do. Let's just begin to ask God to show up in this place. And if you have a need this morning, if you've got an issue this morning, if you've got a fear this morning, if you need an answer this morning, if you're saying there's somebody in my life, maybe it's me, maybe it's a family member, and they're in that prison. They need some doors open. They need some chains to fall off. If that's you today, just slip your hand up in the air real big. But let's show God today who needs prayer today. I see hands everywhere. So right now, let's just begin to pray. God, right now, we just pray for every need. God, right now, we lift up every person. We believe today, we expect today for your presence in this house. God, for those sitting at home right now, lifting up their hands in their living room. God, I'm praying right now for those needs, God. And we're believing that your Spirit can move. God, the disciples, the church didn't know exactly what Peter needed. They just knew that he needed freedom. And so today I pray for freedom. I pray for answers. God, I pray for peace and for rest. God, I pray for your presence to touch people's lives. I pray today for chains of addiction and sin to fall off. God, today I pray for those that need an open door in their life. I pray for doors to be opened. God, today we're believing for answers. Just like Daniel, God, that was struggling and in fear of his own life, God, he needed an answer from you. And he got with his friends. So today we're with our friends, with our family. And God, today we are praying and we're asking for your answers, not our answers. God, we don't want to know what we can do. We want to know what you want to do. And so God, today we ask for your answers. And God, right now I just pray that you would open up our eyes, open up our hearts, open up our ears to know you, to see you, to experience you, to hear you, God. Whatever it is that you want to do in us. And God, if we're not serving you today, if there's someone in this room or someone watching online that's not serving you, they don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I thank you, Father God, that even as we pray today, that they can be praying and they can ask you to forgive them. They can ask you to forgive them, God, that they can confess that you are Lord, that you rose from the dead for their sins. And God, they will be saved. God, I thank you that we're not praying alone. We're not doing life alone. I thank you, first of all, that you're with us. And second of all, we have each other as a family. We love you and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.